Luke chapter 22 tonight. As we do a few times of the year, look into the Lord's Supper. I think it was mentioned maybe last week. It was mentioned earlier today. It is a serious topic. There's no play. There's no fooling around. This is not a topic that we take lightly. It is a sacred topic. And I pray that in your heart you feel that. And Luke chapter 22, we will read the historical account. There's two aspects of the Lord's Supper. It was either in preparation of things to come, or the second, a remembrance of something that had happened. In Luke chapter 22, we see Christ being the originator of it, initiating it. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 14, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it, and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the blood as we talked about last Sunday morning. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son to pay for our sins. I am thankful all my transgressions, all my sins are under the blood of Christ. And God, it not only covers it, but it wipes that slate clean. And I am thankful. God, as we remember and meditate upon the things that you did on that cross that day, God, may we fall deeper in love with you. God, may we have a deeper respect and honor for this sacred time. As your word says, may we be closer nigh to thee. Lord, we again thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that you'd stir in our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we read, we have the historical account of this. Well, this is not the only time that the Lord's Supper shows up in your Bible and in the Gospels. It shows up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, each time there. But with Christ, that's not the only time. For as I said, it was to be a symbol of things to come. He says this, in verse 15, "And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this with this Passover with you before I suffer." He broke the bread. I feel like the disciples just really, they just went along with it, but they did not understand the magnitude of what was happening. We know this multiple times. He tells them that they're not going to understand until it's all done. And until the indwelling Holy Spirit comes, the guide into all truth, do we not fully understand these things? They're just going along and they're all right, that was an interesting prayer, but okay, we'll just do that. And he breaks the bread and gives it to them and they eat. And he takes a cup and he passes it around. They're not thinking. I mean, he says it. This is the cup of my New Testament, of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. He has shed zero drops of blood at this point. It was a foretelling of things to come. Did they understand it? I don't think so. But they went along with it. A symbol of things to come. We jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This special, or even, I might even say, hallowed time, a very sober time, continued on for the next number of years. Here we have close to 30 years later when Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And again, we know the story of Corinth. Corinth is a carnal church, and they got a ton of mess. And by the time we get to chapter 11, he's setting them straight on the Lord's supper, on the Lord's table, communion, as we'll see later on. And he says this in verse 17, as we continue the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, he says. He's like, this is not a compliment. That you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Wouldn't that be awful? Wouldn't that be awful if we assembled together as a church and it was worse for us to assemble than had we not? That would be a shame. And he says it's a shame. He's like, I'm not praising you in any way. I'm saddened by it. Because they abused one of the ordinances of the church. He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. He's like, you got this thing all messed up. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? If you're looking under these things, this is not a meal. This was not the purpose of it. This was not dinner on the grounds, he's saying. This is not supper time. This is a time that we use, as he says, as Christ dictated, the purpose of it is as a remembrance. Christ established the pattern in Luke chapter 22 as a remembrance of something that had not even happened yet. He says, you're going to do this to remember about my sufferings. And here we are in the church 30 years later, and they were not doing that. They used it as dinner on the ground, a fellowship, if you will. Now, I understand the definition of communion is the first word, when you look it up, is fellowship. But it's not fellowship necessarily with one another first. It's a fellowship with God first. He says, you've made it a party. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He goes, you're not doing it right. He corrected them of what it was not. He told them it wasn't a meal. It wasn't a party. Nor was it to be treated as a private event. It was a public thing. Something that the church should do together. But it was a remembrance of things that had happened. Look at verse 18 again. He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church... In the church. It wasn't just a collective, hey, the church of God as believers, but actually in the church. He said, you messed up two things. You got divisions and you're messing up the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. So who is it part of for? Well, it's for the church. It was to be part of the church. It was an ordinance of the church just as much as following the Lord in baptism was. So was the Lord's Supper. So was the Lord's table. That was the design of it. You got saved, you got baptized, and now you're able to participate in this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. And he goes on and he says, this is how it ought to go. Thankful he didn't leave us high and dry with, you just messed it up. We would know what not to do. But here in verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. We just read about that in Luke chapter 22. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He's quoting those verses. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. He goes on to tell them how it ought to act. verse 26, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till I come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And he goes on and he gives us these important words. He said, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He goes on to say, For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He's encouraging them. He's saying, hey, get yourself right before you do this. Who was it for? It was for the saved believers. Christ is the origin of it. Christ is the focus of it. Christ is the complete content of it. He gives us exactly what it's all about. As we take the bread and we break it, what is that a symbol of? It was the body of Christ that was broken on the cross. And we remember that. Not that I was there, but that we remember that event. A real event. When we take the sip of the fruit of the vine, as Luke chapter 22 says, and we drink that, why do we do that? In remembrance. It helps us keep a memorial of that. He says, I don't want you to forget that. It's important that you keep doing this over and over again. Because in it, there's a fellowship between us and God. We're going to look at this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look in verse 16. The Bible says this, in 1 Corinthians 10:16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" So let's analyze that thought for a second. As we pass that cup by, and we'll take of that and sip that, what are we doing? We're participating in fellowship with the blood of Christ. Is that the blood of Christ? No. But it's a remembrance. It's a remembrance of those things. It's bringing to my memory the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood for my sin. A memorial. We have memorials all over the place. Told you about one this morning in our Sunday school class about if you go to O'Hare Airport and you go in between Terminal 1 and 2, there's a plaque there for... We walk around, we see plaques all over the place. Why? Because we don't want people to forget certain things. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you go down downtown and have these giant memorials. Some of you saw them. I think the Hodges went this summer. Washington Monument. Why? We want to make a big deal of George Washington. Hey, why do we do that? Why do we go see that? Why do we look at those things? Why do we read over the... Why do we have our kids memorize the Gettysburg Address? So we not forget those things. Why do we do this three times a year? So we never forget what Jesus Christ did for us. That it will be in the forefront of our conversation on a regular basis. That we sober ourselves up for a moment, for a half hour to an hour, and just think about what He went through. And as I sip that, is there something magical that happens? No. But as I sip that, I think about what it cost Him. And there's this unique blend of sorrow and at the same time, utmost thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. I'm sad that He sorrowed and suffered on the cross for my sin where I should have been. But in turn, how thankful we are. There's another aspect of the Lord's table that I would like to bring to light. We saw that it was a historical account. We saw that it continued through the New Testament. But we read it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The mental and spiritual preparation. What do we use? We use bread. We use fruit of the vine. That's what it says in Luke chapter 22. And the mental preparation is based on the fact of the death of Christ. He died publicly on a Roman cross in the place of sinners, so that anyone who believes on Him might be rescued from the wrath of God. That happened once and for all in history. It actually happened. It actually happened. There's the mental preparation. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about His suffering, that He died for me. But then the spiritual preparation. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. How could I possibly stand before God worthily? Well, I get as clean as I possibly can. The Bible tells me, but let a man examine himself. Hey, I'm going to judge myself. Because if I don't judge myself, God says He will. So there's a way. You know, for a preacher, it would be a lot easier of a doctrine to preach that if you are not right with God, you could lose your salvation. Man, that would keep you clean, right? It's not biblical, Brother Parrott. For sure would make it easier. Because the fear of dying in your sin and losing your salvation somehow would keep you right living. But it's just not biblical. But you know what helps? The Lord's table. This special time, because now I'm deeply examining my heart and mind for sin. I'm actually coming to God and saying, God, reveal to me where I'm not right. It's about as pure and clean as you can get, if you're honest. There's a great benefit in it, of being right with the Lord. We all know what it's like. I saw Blake bringing in a box of paper today. Is that right? He was stuck at the door, couldn't open the door. He had a box of paper. And there he is. He brings it into the copy room, puts it down, and it's like, ah, a weight has been lifted. Sometimes we don't realize how heavy our sin is until we let go. And it's all like, whew, that's better. That's so much better. Lord, it's so good to be right with You right now. Who can participate? Well, as we read, those that are saved, baptized. You don't have to be a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church. Now, I know we don't do baptisms all the time, but if you intend to be baptized or you're in. But be careful that we not skip over the examination part. I want to take a few moments and I want to take some time in the middle of service and just stop. We're going to pray. You can use the altar. You can pray at your seat. I'd recommend praying by yourself. I don't want to rush through this part. I don't want to quick make it go by fast. I have no time. I'm not going to start it when I feel like it's over. We'll continue service once everybody's sitting back up in their seat. Because this time is a serious time. Say, why am I doing this? Because this is what He died for, our sins. And the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. Before we go any further with the Lord's Supper, let's examine ourselves and be honest with God and say, God, what's between me and You? Maybe you used the afternoon and really thought about those things. And you might just ask him one more time, is there anything left? And see what he says. See what he says. Let's take a few moments, as long as we need, and talk. The elements. We'll start with the bread. It's nothing special. And there's no description of what the bread ought to be. It just says he took bread. We use unleavened bread. Leaven is a picture of sin in the Bible. So we tradition or years previous, we have chosen to use just saltine crackers with no salt, and they're just flat. So they're going to distribute those, and then just hold on to it, and they'll come back up. We'll pray, and then we'll partake together. So can you distribute those now? Thank you. I'd like to just draw your attention to one verse here, and we'll look at a couple other verses and we'll conclude our service. But this thought was loud in my heart as I looked over these things again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, it says this, "The cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" And then it says this, "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" That body of Christ is an interesting phrase, because not only did it represent the body, actually the physical body of Christ, but then it says this, "The bread which we break, is it not the communion?" Again, well, let's remember the first definition of communion, the fellowship. Is it not the fellowship, not that we're replacing the Word of God, but just for definition here, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Yes, the physical body of Christ that was broken that for our sins, but also there's another use of the word or the term body of Christ. It's the church. And there's a fellowship around what we just participated in with one another. That's something special. In verse 17, say, are you sure it's not the actual reference to the body of Christ? Now, look at verse 17. "For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread." He's making the transition over to that thought of the body of Christ. There's a fellowship amongst it. There's a communion among each other when we do this. Not only is it a remembrance of what God did for us, but it brings us as a body of believers closer together. We fellowship around this sacred special time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, look there. 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many as are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit." You know what we all symbolize there? We all symbolize, regardless of our background, regardless of our economic structure, our where we came from, our ethnicity, doesn't matter. When we took a sip of that, it reminded us that we are all one in Christ. It got rid of bond and free, Jew or Gentile. And we're all made one through Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at these encouraging verses. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And look at this, what we have and in you all. Say, really, the only thing that I have in common with the person sitting next to me is Christ. You have a great thing in common with the person sitting next to you, in Christ. There ought to be no divisions. Remember when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 what the problem? They had two problems. There were divisions and they were abusing the Lord's table. I think they go hand in hand. Because how could we have communion one with another? How could we have communion with the Father? Fellowship with God the Father under the umbrella of our salvation. And not be able to have communion one with another. There must have been divisions. Hey, when we're right with the Lord, we'll be right with one another. There's a strength about that. And he says, and in you all. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. Under the edifying of itself in love. Hey, because we're so fitly joined together, we are greater together than the sum of our parts, right? Isn't that what it says? If we as individuals took what we had and we laid it all out and we added all those things up, do you understand? It's better for us to be fitly joined together. Not as individuals, but that the body would increase in edification. Is that not what it says? So as we all meet at the foot of the cross, and we all meet with the Father as individuals, we are establishing deeper fellowship with one another. We're strengthened as a church. There can't be divisions if we're right with God, because He's over all of us. And he wouldn't be telling one person different than another. He says, "There." Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what did he say? Hey, there were divisions, and because there's divisions, I believe there's heresies. Right? If the Holy Spirit of God is telling me one thing, he's going to tell you the same thing. And as we humble ourselves and put ourselves under the foot of the cross and we rally around salvation, and we rally around our salvation regardless of who we are, well, there's a unity at that place. And as we are examining ourselves with God, he's not going to tell one person one thing and somebody else another. No, there's unity there. There's unity under one God and Father of all. It's not a different Father for you and a different Father for you. No, there's one God and Father of all. And he's in you, all. The communion with the brethren. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. In Mark chapter 14, it says this. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 25, it says, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." There, the Lord's Supper again in Mark chapter 14. But he says in verse 26, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." We know what happens after that. But they concluded their time together with a hymn. So let's all stand. We'll sing a song tonight.